Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Hello, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast, and I've got my lovely guest waiting just to chat with us. But first, I'm going to tell you a few things about what's going on for the sites and me. Okay, we have an Etsy shop now. It's called starspsychics.etsy.com, and you can go there and see all the things we have up for sale. Now, Mystic Living Today, of course, everybody knows that's my magazine. That will be launched on the first of the month. I'm starting to put everything in right now. And I've been talking about my flip magazine where the pages will actually turn. Well, on January 1st, it will be 25 years I've been online with the magazine, so I'm probably going to launch it then. It'll be a nice anniversary, the 25th anniversary. That's a long time. And so we're kind of fooling around with it, you know, tidying everything up, making sure it's all going to work. But I'll be doing that, and we'll be able – well, we can take classifieds right now, but we'll be able to take full-page ads, quarter-page ads, and all that kind of stuff. So we'll be looking into that. And then my starspsychics.com, that's another thing that I have. Oh, my gosh, you're probably thinking she's got something else she does. Yeah, I do. I've just – you know, it's a big thing. I've had that, and I'm turning my phone down here so you don't hear all the silliness. But anyways, we have specials going on for first-time clients. So you can see that right on the right side. That's called the sidebar. You'll see that, and if you purchase a second reading, how much that's going to be. The minutes never expire. So say, oh, I want to buy 60 minutes. Well, you can easily do that. You know, you use the minutes, and they'll still sit in your account. I never take them off, so you don't have to worry about that. So it's all good. We pay. You would pay us via PayPal. And everything is all set up in starpsychics.com. Now, my guest today is from the UK, and we're going to bring her on as soon as I tell a little bit about her. Her name is Lorraine McAdam. She's an artist, a writer, and a poet. Okay, and she also worked as a nurse for 12 years. We have to find out about that. And she was trained to become a teacher and has been an English teacher for 12 years. She has her own tuition business. She's also unusual in that she believes she's been having encounters with the paranormal, ETs, UFOs, extraterrestrial, since she was a child. And so that in itself is very, very unique. There was a time in the United States that people were seeing UFOs, you know. I mean, even my sister-in-law, but sometimes you really didn't know if it was a hoax. You know, because they got on the bandwagon. Oh, I saw one. Oh, I saw one. But this is the real deal with this lady. So let's bring her on. Welcome, Lorraine. How are you today?
I'm okay. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Okay, so let's start from the very beginning of Lorraine's life as an artist, a writer, and a poet. How did you get started? Did you always write as a real young girl? Or did you always have a desire to be a writer? How did you start? How did it begin for you?
I always enjoyed writing, and I always had a natural ability with English, which is what I teach. I teach it right through from what we call in the UK Key Stage 1 right up to advanced level. I've got a bachelor's degree, and I've got a master's degree and a teaching degree. So.
I think you're pretty much an expert. Yeah, you should know what you're doing, right? Yes, you should know, exactly.
I've always loved writing, yeah.
Well, you know, you and I were talking a little bit on Skype. I have a fairy tale. I mean, I have a story in my head, but I have to figure out a way to start it. And how did you we'll get into you being contacted. I guess we should start with that, okay? Tell us what your book is about. Let's start with that. Your Phantoms in the Night, or ETs, My Lifelong Experience of Contact with the Paranormal. How did this start for you? How did your story begin?
Well, it began in the mid-70s when I was a child. I was about 12. And I started having, sort of whisperings, for want of a better way of putting it. And at this time, I didn't realise what it was because there was nothing about alien abduction back then available. There was no internet, no Google, no nothing. So you couldn't talk to anyone about it or try and analyse what it was. So because I was a Christian, I put it down to a Christian worldview, and I just thought that I was being persecuted by something demonic, and that's what I put it down to because I was a devout Christian. Still am a Christian. What was that? Sorry.
No, that was my phone. Don't worry about it. Just keep talking.
All right. Okay. What would happen is I would be filled with a kind of buzzing sensation, and then I would become paralyzed, and then I would just black out when I heard these voices, and I just couldn't move, and it was very frightening. And this started when I was about 12 and carried on and sort of happened regularly for a long time till I was 16, at least once or twice a week. And I just put it down to demon oppression because I didn't even connect it with ETs at first. It was only later on when I saw a copy and bought a copy of Whitley Strieber's Communion that I connected the dots, so to speak. You know, I didn't think I was interacting. It didn't even occur to me. I hadn't seen a craft or anything at that point, although I have since. So it was very frightening for me as a kid to experience that sort of thing. But I think all the time they were trying to show me, though, that they were physical beings because one time they put me back outside and I was locked out and I had to knock my mum up to let me back into the house, literally. Another time they paralysed me but I didn't pass out, and they drew on the back of my nightdress. I always remember this. And I had to go and, when I woke up and I came out of the paralysis, it really frightened me because I found these sorts of hieroglyphic things in like sort of black, what I can only describe as black crayon on the back of the nightdress I'd been wearing at the time. And I'd been able to feel them doing it, but I couldn't move. And I just wanted to get rid of this. I didn't want to acknowledge it, you know, so I gave it to my mum to wash, but she made me wash my own nightdress and all this black stuff came out in the water. It did come out, but that really did frighten me. And I still didn't know what was going on. But I think in their way, they were trying to say, look, we're physical beings. We're not, you know, we're not what you're thinking.
It's not your imagination, right?
Yes.
Okay, why do you think they chose you?
I don't know. I often wonder that. I have postulated in my book a number of theories that it could be because of my DNA. I've wondered about that because I've since done an awful lot of research because of what's happened to me, trying to find out, because one thing about you, when you realise you're an abductee, you research and research, you dig and dig, and there's so much more out there now to access. So I've looked into books about the past by people like Graham Hancock, Paul Wallace, have just written Out of Eden, and he was postulating that I know this is going to be a bit controversial, but I'm going to say it anyway, that the God in the Bible that called himself Jehovah, he believes that, in fact, he was an alien, and that the Anunnaki are talked about in the Sumerian texts as well, and that there is evidence to suggest they created us or engineered DNA between a hominid that was native to Earth and their own DNA and created us.
Okay. I got it.
Yeah,
I understand that.
To me,
not to interrupt you, but anything is possible. I have never seen anything unknown. I've never seen anything, period. Now, I think we all have experiences that maybe somebody else hasn't had, and you were chosen, we really don't know why. Could be your DNA, could be that you were more susceptible at the time when you were really young, but I have never, ever seen anything. Now, my sister-in-law told me, oh, a UFO flew over my house. Well, take a picture. You know what I'm saying? Because she was known to fantasize about things. So something like that can happen. It could have been real for her. But you see, she couldn't prove it to anybody. Only she saw it. You had proof on your nightdress. You had it right there. And if it would have been done you'd have somebody take a picture of it. You wouldn't wash it off.
Well, I would, but I've since taken pictures of strange stains that have appeared on my underwear. They're actually in my book. If you look in my book, there are illustrations as well of things I've seen. So, yes, of course, I would take a picture of it now, because at the time when it was happening to me at first, I didn't understand that it was some kind of ET contact or what I suspect to be. So another reason that I could postulate why me is because I have to say, someone was commenting last night, because the things that they drew on the nightdress, I always remember, looked like Egyptian hieroglyphics. And I've since kind of been regressed to past lives and discovered I had a life in ancient Egypt. And I just wonder if they recognized something in the soul. And it was they were saying, we've met you before and we're going to remind you of this by writing this, putting this Egyptian writing on your nightdress. I don't know, because I've since kind of looked into that. And also in my family DNA, we have rhesus negative blood, bloodline, which is supposed to be something that attracts them, allegedly. I don't know whether you've heard about that.
I have had a strange life. I had parents, but I'm not like them. I was an only child, and this is just a little story, a little tidbit. I was an only child. I was alone all the time, and nobody helped me with my homework. Nobody helped me. Nobody guided me. But I had a lady who was a medium. She's since passed, and we were like sisters. And she told me, she used to do the radio show with me 12 years ago. She said, I don't know how you turned out as well as you did. And I said, why? She said, because, she said, you were not really treated like a normal child. Your parents didn't kind of like, well, did you do your homework? Let me help you with this. She said, you didn't have any of that. So she said, oftentimes, and this is a psychological point of view, she said, oftentimes you turn out to be a monster because you're resentful that you didn't get what the other kids got. Well, I know I did not get what they got, but I'm not resentful at all. Yeah. All I am is of service to the world.
Yeah.
God, I am of service to God, and I've always done this since I was a little girl. I'm not even concerned with it, and I'm very intelligent. Now, I didn't know any of this when I was growing up because, you see, nobody, no adult took me aside and said, well, how do you know how to do this? How do you know? Nobody even said anything to me. I was on my own.
So I can
relate in the sense of what you've been chosen for, which I feel that we are all chosen for something. Now, have you seen them recently?
The most recent experience I had, or experiences, should I say, was during lockdown. And, you know, in the April, as we were locked down, I was given a message telepathically to say, you're going to go through a very difficult time, which I did find lockdown very difficult, but we're going to protect you and look after you through this. And then they told me they would have to do a necessary medical procedure on me. So it's as if they warned me first. And then I kind of had the blackout where I black out, you know, I feel the buzzing going through me. I hear the buzzing and then I'm paralyzed. And I believe I was taken for them to do whatever that was. And I don't know what they did, but My husband is a doctor and he's on the front line of medicine, and he was dealing with people with COVID when they were dying, when it was really serious at first. And he came home with that on his clothes. And I didn't catch anything, and this is the truth, I didn't catch it until it mutated and became less harmful. And I wasn't inoculated at that point. I didn't catch anything for 2 years after I got that message. So I believe that they honoured that. I really firmly do.
I never got COVID either. I never got it either. Yeah. My son had it.
Yeah.
Not a real bad bout with it.
Yeah.
But he didn't come over for 10 days. He did not see me. I stayed in my house. I didn't go anywhere. You know, he said, Mother, you're not going anywhere. I don't want you to be near people. I don't care if you wear a mask. I don't want you to go. I didn't go out. This is the truth. I mean, I went on my back porch.
Yeah.
I'm in a very beautiful place in South Carolina, so it's warm all year round. But I went on my porch.
Ooh,
that was
jealous.
I didn't talk to a soul on the phone, and I never got it. And I had friends that got it, but I never saw them. So, like for you, you probably were kept in your environment. I bet you any money you were not going anywhere, because your husband came. Well, maybe he came home with it. We don't know. You don't really know. But the fact is, you didn't get it. You see, and neither did I. And I'm so grateful because I saw so many people dying. I didn't know anybody personally that died from it, but you know, sometimes if people went in the hospital and died, it was COVID. It was COVID. Really? How do you know? They had a heart attack. Maybe I don't know, but I agree with you. I really do. Now, so have you ever seen? These are my own questions. Have you ever seen with your eyes a UFO?
Yes, I have. And my mum is very, well, she's not with us anymore, but she's very cynical. And she was all my life. She said, when I tried to articulate what was happening to me when I was younger, she used to say, you would just imagine it and things like that. But then when she came up here, I'd seen several craft over this same field. And I later found out that there was a ley line running right through our house and right through this field and over towards the mountains, because I live near the Lake District in the UK. And I talk about this in my book. I don't know whether you've read my book. Did you actually?
No, I don't have it.
It
no, I have not gotten it. No, I don't have it.
No. But this started in 2008. And what happened at first was there were some crop formations happened in this field, and we saw them and got out and looked at them. And my husband, who's quite cynical, actually said there's no way they could have got in or out, except they must have come through the air, from the air, to do this. Because there's only my footprints going in and out of this field. And then as we got back, about a month later, I started seeing lights over that field kind of whizzing apart and coming together. And at first, I tried to think of a rational explanation of what is it, children messing about, is it torches or something, but it was too high off the ground. And of course, you say take a photo, but the problem with that is that at the time, I didn't have an iPhone, I didn't think to go and get a camera. I don't know why, retrospect's a great thing, I think. But what happened after that, about 2 hours later, I saw a huge cylindrical craft, and I kind of felt compelled to go and look out my window. It was summer and it was late in the night, early morning. And this cylindrical craft hovered above this field, and it had green and orange lights around the side of it. And I thought, am I seeing things, was my first thought. And then as I watched, it went on its side and balanced like a wheel. And I told my husband about it.
I can see that in my head, how it would do that. Okay. That's pretty cool. I like that. I wish I would see one, but I don't think I'm going to see one.
Yeah.
I think certain people are chosen. I have had things happen to me, but I was dying when it happened. And because I almost died twice, but the first time was really bad. And I think, I'll tell you, because I have a fear. I don't know why, but what happened was is I got a virus, and they didn't know what it was. They had no idea where I got it. They couldn't do anything for me except give me 2 injections a day. I had to go into the office and get it, or I had to go into the hospital, and I would not go in the hospital. I wanted to stay home. So I did that, and then during that time, like maybe towards the end of it, I don't know exactly when. I know the day it was Labor Day here in the United States, and I woke up, and my room was glowing golden yellow, like a light was on, a bright light.
Oh, wow.
But it wasn't.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a light.
Yeah,
Lorraine, it wasn't. So I looked up to the ceiling, light wasn't on. I looked to the little bathroom, light wasn't on. But then I turned around, and I looked on my back wall. And there was a 7-foot crystal. That's where the glow was coming from. So, what I don't understand, I still don't understand, is why didn't I stay awake to watch it? I didn't. It was like, okay, she realizes that this is real. Put her back to sleep, and I went back to sleep. I put my head down and went to sleep. You know, you would think, oh, my God, I got to keep watching this till the sun rises, because is this real or is this just in my head?
Yeah.
Well, of course I got better.
Well, this is normal,
and,
I think.
What happened was is I think my friend Maya, who was with me, my dear, like a sister to me, she told me, she said it was either an archangel or it was God himself. She said, obviously, you are meant to survive. And it had to be coming from this crystal, you know, because you have a purpose. Well, the only time I think about it is when I'm talking to somebody like you or somebody that talks about seeing things, clairaudient, clairvoyant, you know. And, I mean, I haven't seen it again, but I can still see it in my mind's eye. I can still see it. I don't think I'll ever see it again. I don't think I have to. And I, you know, sometimes I'm clairaudient. I can hear things, but I can't say, okay, Lorraine, let me pick up what I'm hearing about you. It doesn't work that way for me. You know, like a lot of mediums can hear, they can see. Not me. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, bringing people like you out to the world, because otherwise they'd never know who you were. I mean, yes, you have a book. It's promoted. I'm putting you out into a whole different realm than you would normally be out in. And so I think that's part of it. It's my job, you know, and I really love what I do.
Yeah.
You know, now I don't think I'll ever get an explanation except from what Maya told me, that that's what she thinks it was. And she said you were supposed to be healed. But she said they wanted you to see it, because she said oftentimes people get something in their head and they don't believe it unless they see it. They knew you had to see it. She has to see this or she'll never, you know, we can give her an idea in her head, oh, you were healed. Really? How was I healed? I want to know. Yeah, that's what I would have said. I saw it.
Yeah.
I saw it. I drew a picture of it the next morning and I put the date down and I never saw it again. Never. And that's been many, many, many years ago. So, I think what's happened to you is wonderful. The only thing is, and you probably think this, is why can't I just ask a question and say, I need to see you again. I need this, but you can't do that. You see, they come to you when they want to come to you.
That's right. I find that is one of the most disconcerting things about this, about being an abductee, and I don't know whether other abductees have said the same thing, and they seem to have been on some kind of schedule all of their own. Because people will say to me, well, how often does it happen? And I can't always predict it. It happens intermittently is all I can answer, really, you know, and has done throughout my life. There's never seems to be a definite pattern, if you will. I can't say to you, yes, they come roughly every 10 years to me, even, you know. Just seems to happen, although...
Yeah. Now you haven't seen anything or gotten any kind of anything since 2000, or since lockdown, right? Was that the last time?
Well, no, it's not actually, because I've had a few things happen recently where I think I've met them. Well, I certainly believe I met a Nordic. You see, I feel I meet them on the ground sometimes.
You're right about that. Yeah, they're actually people. No, yeah. I know what you're saying. Yeah, because sometimes, and I'm going to, I don't know if this is true. Well, I feel it's true, but you'll know. You'll meet somebody, and maybe they don't even talk to you, but there's a smile that they give you. There's just a feeling that you get from this person. Yes, that... Yeah. You know, if I really need to ask them something, they're going to talk to me, but I don't really need to talk to them. And then sometimes, you know, sometimes we meet people and, oh, they just, they're so cantankerous. They're just, they're nasty. They're, and we have to have this layer around us so we're not bothered by them. I'm an empath, but it's not fun being an empath.
It's not fun.
I mean, I can cry at things, and things disturb me so bad. And another thing I do is I take care of the animals around me. I'm like a beacon to them. I have deer. I have these huge clutches, which are groups of mallard ducks. They come to the mothers bring the babies. They bring the babies, and I feed them until like maybe the end of October. Then they fly. They fly away, and I don't see them again until June of the next year. And I have deer at night. And, I have like maybe 9 or 10, and there's this one, Lorraine, that she's really cute. She stands on my porch right by my door wall. I have a door wall that opens. That's how I come out. She stands there. She sees my light come on because she knows, I cut up apples, I cut up carrots, and I give them two kinds of food. Not just corn, but other kind of food, because corn's not really that good for them. Other kind of food, and I put it in 3 big bowls, and she stands there and she waits because she thinks, I know she knows. She's cutting her stuff up, no problem. And as soon as I turn my porch light on, she moves closer to me. Now, I'm very careful with her because there's others behind her. I mean, I have the males. They have big antlers now, and, you know, because it's called the rut season. That's going to be happening in November. But they're there, and what she does is I'll say to her, now you got to back up a little bit, you know, back, because, you know, they could bite you. They could bite you. They can jump on you. They can do all these kinds of things. But these have never bothered me, and I've been feeding them for 2 years. Nothing. They're just very kind, very calm, and especially her. She's not very big. She's not very old. Maybe she's 2 years old. And it's just a wonderful feeling. She's the first one, and she stands there really nice and patient. She sees me open the door, and she starts to back up because I'll say to her, you need to back up a little bit now. I say it real calm, real quiet. I don't yell. I don't stomp my feet. And she backs up, and she waits. Because there's a little, a smaller bowl that I give to her. She gets it first. Yeah. And then there's two big ones, and then the bigger ones come. But my son said to me, have you ever been afraid? I said, no, not one time. But I have an alligator in the lagoon because I'm in South Carolina. He's big. He's about 8 feet. But when I turn my lights on at night, I look to see because they feed at night, to make sure that he's not, you know, right in my backyard, because I'm about 100 feet from my lagoon. It's not far. He could easily come on shore and be in my backyard. It's right directly in front of me. But what I do, Lorraine, is when the deer are there, I'll turn all my lights on around my house, but I know he's not there because the deer would not stay there. They would run. So there's too many of them. There's like I said, 9 or 10 of them. Sometimes I have more than that because my son said to me, you need to be careful because that alligator could be by your trees waiting for you to come out. I said, I don't think so, not with the deer. The deer would run. They're big. They would take a hike. And as soon as I see them running, I know, don't step out on your porch. But I had it all lit up. And I go out there. My neighbors probably think I'm nuts because I talk to them. But I talk to the ducks, too, you know, and they'll wait for me on my porch. And I'll come out, and I'll just say to them, hello, my girls. How are you this morning? And they back up, and I put the seed down. I have a special blend that I have. I spend a lot of money. I mean, you know, somebody said, why do you do this? I said, I'd eat a can of tuna every day just to feed them, and that's the truth. I am of service in that, and I know it. I really know it.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried about it, and I'm not resentful. I just keep doing it. But
well, the reason I knew that I'd seen something unusual was, well, I was coming down a mountain at the time, and I think that they like the mountainous region because it's very beautiful, the Lake District in the UK. And my son was behind me and following me, and I greeted this man, and we just smiled at each other, and I felt that his energy was different, and I thought, I'm in the presence of a Nordic here, I felt. And then my son came down the mountain, and I said, did you see that man? Because he was behind me all the time following me. And he said, no, I didn't see anyone, Mum, and I was behind you all the time. And yet I'd seen him, my son hadn't. So
yeah, well, see, that's a gift that you have. Yeah. They only make themselves visible to you. That's it.
Strange, isn't it? Yeah,
no,
definitely.
No, you're one of the chosen ones. And you were meant to write the book. Now, there's a book cover. I want to tell people, do you have a website? I couldn't find a website for you.
I do have a Facebook, a book page on Facebook that I can.
Okay, but you don't have a website.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I don't.
Yeah, I think the story sounds like your whole, with the presence that they appeared and all of that. And, you know, people need to, I mean, if they've ever wondered in their whole life about any of this, it would be to read your book. Because I really think that it will explain a lot. Because, see, you know, there's a lot of people that don't believe in ET. They don't believe in extraterrestrial UFO. They don't believe in it. They think it's a bunch of garbage.
I don't understand that. Yeah.
You don't? Well, because they haven't seen it with their eyes. That's why. They haven't heard it. They haven't seen it. And oftentimes there are skeptics. You know, it's just like if I tell them the crystal that I saw, they probably think to themselves, oh, yeah, right. Oh, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But I know what I saw, and you know what you see. You see?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Do
yeah.
you get a feeling? Yeah. Now, tell me something. Do you get a feeling like maybe you're going to get something incoming, like maybe you're going to be contacted? Do you get a sense of something, or does it just come as a surprise?
I often get a feeling, and then something will happen, but not always. Sometimes it is a surprise, yes. That was a surprise that happened in the Lake District, and that's happened 3 times now, on 3 separate occasions where I've seen and made contact mentally with someone, if you will, on a mental level, on an energetic
mm-hmm.
level. And then I said, did you see so-and-so sat, that person sat there? And they look Nordic. They look pale-skinned, blonde-haired, these people. And my children all go, what person, what man, what are you talking about, Mum?
Yeah.
There was one occasion when I came back in my car, the children would be quite young. They're older now, but they're in the back of the car, and there was a man stood in the conservatory, and I didn't feel any threat from him whatsoever. This is a weird thing. He was dressed in kind of plain white garments, looked a bit monk-like, and he waved at me and smiled, and I waved back at him, and the children said, Mom, what on earth are you waving at? There's nothing there.
Who are you waving to? What are you waving at? I love it. Now, see, if it were me with you, and I know you now, and I was with you down the road, I'd say, okay, well, tell him I said hello. I mean, I would acknowledge it. But you see, and young children, you know, and people are so skeptical, aren't they? They, not talking about your kids, but if you tell people this story, they're going to say, oh yeah, right, Lorraine, you're off in the ozone somewhere. But only you know how real it is. See? But I believe you because I know what I've seen.
Yeah, it's difficult because my husband is very scientific, very down-to-earth guy. And he, the only thing he will admit to is something he can see with his own eyes. So he it's difficult being alongside somebody that doesn't get it, you know, and kind of doesn't understand, you know, really what you're going through. It's quite hard, yeah.
Yeah, and it makes you kind of wonder sometimes, too, because you have your people like your husband who's near you, you know what I'm saying, why doesn't he get some kind of an indication? But then again, the thought just comes to me is because they don't have to see. You either believe it or you don't. I believe it, and
yeah,
I've never seen a UFO.
Yeah.
I have never in my entire life yet. Now, maybe talking to you, they're up there thinking, okay, well, we're going to show her something. Let's appear before Natalie, you know? But, because she's gonna believe it. You see, I don't think that they appear only to those who will believe. That's what I think.
Yeah.
There are many others out there, I'm sure. I would not believe it. I would believe it. Because I've seen things before, I know, but yeah, I think you're one of the chosen one. They chose you because, and number two, they knew you would write about it. They wanted you to write about it, and you did.
I've often thought that. I firmly believe that because from being a kid, it's almost like I had those skills of writing, and people have actually said when they've read my book, this is written well. It's written in such a way that it makes you want to read on it. You can't put it. I've even had friends, you know, that have been a little bit sceptical at first and have said, I really enjoyed your book, because the way it's written, it's not just about what you've seen and heard, it entertains and it makes you want to carry on reading.
Yeah.
And I've actually even had people say you're a gifted speaker. I don't know whether that's the case, you know, when they've listened to podcasts and things. But
oh, no, we haven't missed a beat. You and I mean, I can really talk. I could talk the whole hour by myself, but you are great to converse with. You really are. You listen, you phrase everything properly, you answer my questions, and that's a good speaker, because oftentimes speakers are just into their self. That's all they think about. Not you. No, you're not at all.
Yeah.
No. I have a very nice feeling with you, and I'm really good at doing that. I know people, and I know if you know what you're talking about or you don't. I've been, like I said, this is my number 300 show. I've been doing this for 12 years. Every week. I think I know people pretty well. And, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, somebody will say, well, how do you talk to these people? You don't know them. Yeah, you gave me talking points, and I had a write-up for you. But I don't really need any of that, as you can tell.
Yes.
Because we just start talking, and I pull the questions, ask you the questions, and you give me the information. It's perfect. It's perfect. I love it.
Yeah.
So now you're on Facebook. Now, what are you under Facebook as? Are you under Lorraine McAdam, or are you under for your name of your book?
I'm under Lorraine McAdam. Also, if you put the name of my book into Facebook, it would bring my book page up, and you can go and follow me there if you want to. But you could also friend me on my profile. I invite people to do that. At the back of my book, there's an email address that people, if they want to contact me directly, they're welcome to email me. So that's right in the back of my book. But I can certainly send you the links. My book is on both Amazon USA and Amazon UK. And it's also on Six Books, is my publisher's website, Six Books Collective Inc. Do you want me to just send those after the show? I can send you the link.
Yes, you can send it to me in email. That would be wonderful. How did you find me? Who's your publicist? Did somebody contact? Was it Gavin?
It's Gavin Davis. I think Gavin put us in touch.
Gavin, oh, my God. Gavin, I've known him for years. Oh, he'll write and he'll say, okay, honey, I got it. This is what he says. Okay, honey, I got another one for you. And they'll say to me, you're my star. He said, do people know that you're an angel? And I'll say to him, well, it's really funny. There is a man in Jerusalem that I interviewed, and I want to go there very badly because I think I was around when Jesus was on the cross. I really do. And he told me then.
Yeah.
He said, do you know what you are? And I said, oh, I don't know, but I have a feeling you're going to tell me. He said, you are an earth angel. And you have big white wings, and that's what he calls me. He sends me information to put in my magazine every month, and he said, so how are your wings today? You know, he's just the sweetest man. He's got kind of an accent. He said, if you can ever come here, I will have you walk the path that Jesus walked. And he said, I just have this feeling about you that it's going to be very special for everybody who's around you at that time. And I said, well, I would love to do that. I mean, I've had an affinity, you know. I've been drawn to it. And I had a husband, he since passed, that I had to take care of, and it was awful for me. And I went into my bathroom, locked the door. He's pounding on the door, right? And I was sobbing because the road was so treacherous with him. He tried to hurt me every day. And I looked down. Oh. I sat on the floor now in the bathroom. And I looked down, and I saw feet, a pair of feet. And above the feet was a robe, a white robe.
Oh,
and
wow.
I recognized it to be Jesus. I really did. And as soon as that came into my head, I stood up, I stopped crying, and I never cried again, even when he died. I never cried again. Because I had a girl, you know, that I've known for many years. She said, you know, he was taken because God said enough is enough for her. She's done enough.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was awful. I mean, my son didn't know whether I was going to be alive or not when he would come see me. I was here by myself, alone with him. I kept him home. I could have put him in a home, but I just didn't want to. I just knew that I could do it. I knew I could do it. And
did he have dementia or something?
Oh,
did
he had Alzheimer's. He had Alzheimer's. Yeah. He had the kind that he wanted to kill me. He thought I had killed his wife.
Oh, no.
So I had to watch every step he took. I mean, he was a big man, so he would grab me and he would throw me. But you know, Lorraine, but you know what? No, it's okay. I never got hurt. Not one time. Not one. I could have broken bone. I mean, I'm little. I'm only 5'2". I weigh 100 pounds. I'm not very big. I'm very tiny.
I'm only 5'4".
There you go. Well, I'm very little. My frame is petite. I'm very small. He could have really hurt me, and he threw me up against a wall, up against doors, but I survived, you see. But I survived because I had help that you couldn't see, and I always knew that. I always knew I was protected, you know, because my son was worried. He'd come over, and he, you know, that's just about sometimes you see things, but sometimes you feel things. You and I have been blessed. You see, and I see. Not everybody that's going to listen to this show is going to be able to see what we have seen. Not everybody.
No.
Maybe some, if we're lucky.
No.
But I can tell you, I saw his feet in that bathroom and the robe. And as soon as I knew what it was, I got up. No more tears. I unlocked the door, and I stood in the doorway, and I just stood there. And my husband backed away from me. He didn't hurt me.
Yeah.
He never hurt me.
Yeah.
He tried. He tried to choke me, but I had protection. I wasn't afraid. I just knew I would be okay, and I was.
That's good. I'm glad. I'm glad that.
I wouldn't be doing this because that was 12 years ago. I wouldn't be doing this show, that's for sure.
Wow.
You
go through these awful experiences, don't you? But I think they make you stronger in the end.
Well, you know, I'll tell people I stand tall with it. And one of the authors that I talked with, he said, well, why don't you write about it? I said, no, I don't want to go back. I'm done with it.
Yeah,
no.
I understand that. Yeah, I understand that.
I'm not going to write about it. I'm not going to cry about it.
Yeah.
I don't want anything to do with it. He said, well, tell people. I said, no. No, because everybody's experience is different. Just like, you know, I could contact you and say, Lorraine, I saw a UFO yesterday. My experience will be different than yours.
Oh, absolutely.
And you say, well, describe it to me. I want to know what it's like. Oh, I don't.
Yeah.
Definitely, I would contact you if I ever saw anything, but I have never. I may never.
I was going to add to that. Somebody said to me in another podcast, he said, you seem very calm. He said, how do you remain so calm after what was traumatic when I was a kid and some of the things I've had recently happen? He said, how do you remain calm? And I just said, because I feel as if somebody's helping me to stay calm through this. And, you know, it's better to remain calm because, you know, and I compartmentalize things as well and carry on with my normal life because you have to be strong. You know,
you have to. And, you know, I have a granddaughter, and she'll say to me, is there anything you can't do, Graham? I said, well, I can't swim, and I can't skate, like ice skate, rollerblade.
Uh-huh.
I can't do any of that. I can't. And she said, why? And I said, well, somebody tried to drown me when I was 7 years old, held me under the water. I said, so maybe that experience did it. She said, nah, I don't think that's it. She's 19. She said, I don't think that's it. She said, I tell everybody, my Gram can do it. She can do anything. I said, well, I know what I can't do. But you see, Lorraine, you and I are here for a purpose, just like the people that will be listening to the show and could be listening right now. If they don't call in, I don't know if they're listening or not, but they could be nodding their head and say, yes, they're right. I saw this, and I know I saw it, and I know it was real. And they mustn't discount anything. They mustn't.
Yeah, well, I've since had validation, because what I was going to tell you about the night that I saw the cylindrical craft, I told my husband, I said, if I see anything else over that field, I said, I'm going to go out and investigate it. And I went out in my little Fiat this one night about a month later, because I saw the white zigzagging lights again. I thought, right, I'm going to go and see what this is about once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
I went out, and at the side of that field on the B6263, at the right at the end of the road was a parked egg-shaped craft, and I've since seen one exactly like it illustrated in a book by Michael Sala, who is in touch with somebody allegedly in the military that is working with the Nordic ETs, and it's exactly identical to what I saw. And after I saw it, I went on the motorway and I had a missing time incident. It's all sort of in my book. And that validated to me that what I'd seen was the Nordics trying to contact me again or to show me one of their craft. So I firmly believe that that's been since validated, because who would know that I would read that book with that exact craft in it? I mean, it just seems like a series of very strange coincidences, to say the least.
Know there are no coincidences. Everything happens. It's called divine timing and divine order. So I don't believe in coincidences. You are at the right place at that moment in time because you're supposed to be there. Now, when was the last time you actually saw something? How long ago?
Well, I saw not very long ago, actually, about 2 weeks ago, in addition to me seeing the man that wasn't there, as I'll call to describe what my son said. I went out in the back garden and I just felt compelled to go out. Sometimes this happens in the evening and it was quite dark, but it was a lovely clear night, and I was just looking up at the sky and I felt a feeling. I just got a feeling, and then all of a sudden I saw a white orb shoot right over at speed, and I thought, there you go, there you are, because I've seen these white orbs before, and I believe they're from the Nordic craft. They send them out to...
Well, so you see them quite frequently then. You get something quite frequently. In other words, you're able to see often, and which is amazing, just amazing in itself, just amazing in itself. I mean, you know, like we were talking about Gavin. Gavin, he's just a sweetie. You know, he always says, "You're my angel. You're my star." Gavin, I'm not your star. I'm not your angel. He said, and he'll write me back right away. Oh, yes, you are. He said, you don't know. But he sends me so many beautiful people. There has not been one that I wrote him back. I would write him back and say, now, don't ever send me anybody like that again. Because that, you know, he just knows. He just knows. And then for my magazine, he'll send me all kinds of articles, 5-6 of them to put in the magazine, which makes my magazine look really good. Looks really full. Now, I don't think I have an excerpt from you, but I'll certainly see what I can get. I can write you. I have your email address, because I can put something in there, and I can put a link back to the show beneath the whatever you send me to put in. That might be a good idea to do that, Lorraine. I think that would be informative. And it would kind of coincide. Well, it helps to sell your book, but it would coincide with the podcast that we're doing. You know, I think people need to associate things as being real. Oh, yeah, Natalie's saying this and Lorraine is saying that. But when they see something in print, you know, people used to send me stuff and it wasn't in print. I said, no, I want a picture. I have to have an image. I read books really fast.
Yes, so do I.
But I don't read like a normal person. My eyes spread out. I don't go word by word by word when I read. I see a lot at one time. And my granddaughter says, why don't you teach me how to do that? I said, you can't teach somebody how to do that. I've always done it this way. And she said, wow, because I used to read for her because she doesn't really like to read. She likes me to read to her. And she's in her second year in a college, art and design school, but she says to me, I still like you to read to me. I love reading out loud. Well, I love talking. Yeah, you can tell. I mean, you don't miss a beat with me. But anyways, I think we're close to our time. It's 1:50. I don't know when you're going to get cut off. But I want to thank you so much. Look for my email because I will ask you to send me something. It can be something an article you've written. It can be an excerpt from your book. But I want to put it in. And I'll put the cover of your book there. I want to put it in the magazine in this October issue. My honor. Always my honor. I love this is my job, Lorraine. This is what I do.
Would you like my poems about abduction? I did write a really beautiful one about it, trying to explain how it feels to be an abduction.
Anything you want me to put in there. Anything you want me to put in there, I will put in there for you. Absolutely.
Great. Oh, that's very kind. Thank you for that. Yeah.
And I'm glad we figured out this Skype call thing.
I know.
Well, we have to thank your husband and thank your son for kind of the little extra guidance, and we get guidance from everywhere, as you know. And I'm going to, we have about 5 minutes left, but I'm so honored. I've never had anybody like you on my show that has actually had encounters like you.
Oh,
nobody.
Oh, wow. That is amazing. I thought you might have had somebody like Whitley Strieber or someone like that.
It's wonderful. And I'll try to get your book. I don't ask Gavin to send it to me because it's from the UK. You know, he's in the UK. So I'll see about getting your book. And you're sweet. You're wonderful. And now you see how smart you are? You learned how to do all of this. See?
Deep learning curve, but yes, I know how to do it now.
every day is you learn something every single day, don't we? And I have started my fairy tale. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful love story. And actually, I want my granddaughter to do the illustrations in the book because she's really talented. I want it to be towards young people. Old people can read it. Older people can read it. Not old, but older people. Because it will show you that things can really happen. And we do experience other lifetimes. And sometimes it takes quite a few lifetimes to find that person that we left a long time ago. That's what this is about. It's about a lady and a man that finally find each other again. It's really beautiful. I started doing the audio. I did an audio because I thought, maybe that would be better. But I have to sit at my office Word and just start typing away. And I'll probably end up doing automatic writing. And probably they'll be looking down at me, well, it's about time she sat at this to do this. My God, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting, right? But I don't know. Hopefully I can do it. I'm just always so busy. I've just got so many things going. Now I'm starting the magazine. So look for my email because I think, at least we got almost a full hour in. I don't want you to be cut off. But thank you, thank you, thank you. You're a wonderful lady. You really are.
Oh, thank you for that. Yes, yeah.
And I don't know where my girl is from. That does some of my work for me, a lot of my work for me. She's in the UK. I'll have to tell you an email where she's from in the UK.
Please.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know it's a big country. I know that, but she's the one that got me watching The Crown. She said to me, "You have to watch The Crown because I love Catherine." I love Princess Catherine.
Yeah,
I really do.
I like The Crown. I'm right on the border with Scotland, Carlisle, the city of Carlisle.
Okay, I'll tell her that.
Yes.
I don't know where she is. I mean, she did tell me one time. I think it starts with a B, but I'm not sure.
Bedfordshire. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll email you and let you know where she is.
Yes, please do. Yeah, I'll be interested,
Okay, and I want to know if you see something again in the sky now, keep watching the sky, right?
I do quite often. Yeah, I do start because where I live, there isn't much street light. So I'm very fortunate that I live in the country, so I can look and there isn't much
and
light
they probably
pollution.
Like the high mountains. Because you have to really look up. If you're down on, you know, lower level, you have to look up. And how many people miss seeing them that really don't look up? You don't know.
I think people don't look up enough, actually. I often do, even when I'm driving, which is naughty of me, but I do it at night. I just get feelings to look up,
Well, you know, you're very blessed, just like I am. And I'm so happy we met and we got this all connected.
Oh, thank you,
Okay, so watch for my email, okay? And have an awesome day, honey. Okay, love to you. Okay, everybody, you will see me next week. Let's see, on Wednesday, same time, or we're going to be going into October. Oh, my God. Who do I have? Oh, yes, I have a gentleman I'll be on next week, and then I have another one, and then another one, and then another one. It's going to continue on, which is what I do. I haven't even had people booked in December now. And that's what it is. That's good stuff. We like to do that. You know, I like to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I like to be booked ahead of time. But anyways, okay, so I'm going to let you go. And to those who've been listening, thank you so much for listening. This has been all recorded. So as soon as I disconnect from all of this, I'll push it out on Facebook. I'll push it out on Tumblr, push it out on Twitter, and you'll see the recording. You won't see it. You'll hear it. And what a lovely conversation with a very, very lovely lady. Now, I'm going to end the show, as I always do. And, Lorraine, you're going to love this. This is how I end my show. Believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And with that, I'll say goodbye, everybody. See you next week. Bye-bye, Lorraine. Love to you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome.